This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Coach, when you evaluate McCord, you think he's the best pocket passer that you've seen? Obviously, with his stats, maybe the best in the country?
Yeah, I think he's really good. I mean, there's a few things that make him really good. I mean, they're the second best passing offense in the country. That tells you right there. I mean, and it's not just a quarterback. He's got tools to throw to. You know, he's got the Meeks kid from Georgia, transfer. Gadsden is a big tight end that he loves him as a target. The Pena kid, number two, who's also a punt returner. I mean, they're athletic. I mean, they've got, and they make the catches. I mean, they catch everything that's thrown their way. So that makes him impressive. You know, the most impressive thing is what he does on third down. I think maybe top five third down teams in the country of converting third downs. I watched the third medium tape, and I think he completed every ball in third medium. It's like, holy cow, let's stay out of third medium. Let's get to third and long. You got at least a chance there on third and long to stop them. They do a really good job offensively. And again, it starts with the coaching. He's well coached and he's making the throws.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. That was Pitt head coach Pat Narduzzi talking about Kyle McCord and the Syracuse Orange, who are here and will take on the Pitt Panthers tonight at Acrisure Stadium. 7:30 kick. Pat Bostic, he'll be on the call with myself, Bill Hillgrove, who will be joining the show at 7:45 as well. Pat Bostic is here right now. And Pat, I saw Andrew Filippone, what was that, 2 days ago, and we were filming a video at Bowser, and he was going on and on saying that he heard Pat Narduzzi absolutely trashing Kyle McCord, and he wants to start a feud with Fran Brown, the head coach of Syracuse. And I'm like, quit stirring things up. Quit creating drama. Why are you saying that? And there's other people around too, so I'm like, okay. Like, what is Pony doing? I'm like, Pat Narduzzi praised Kyle McCord in the offense and what Kyle McCord has done and said, really, you know, this guy's going to be an NFL quarterback and it's going to be a good game. How about Pony always just trying to start some drama, man?
That's Pony.
Yep.
I love him for it. Pat Narduzzi, even off the record, has been, I mean, he's worried about Kyle McCord, and rightfully so. He's one of the top passers in the ACC, and from what I've seen on film, like on rhythm, as good a quarterback as there is in the country. There's a reason he went to Ohio State, and now he had to obviously move to Syracuse, but he's performed at a really high level. Sounds like he'll be without his best receiver tonight, his top pass catcher, Trevor Pena, but no, I don't think Pat Narduzzi had a bad thing to say about Kyle McCord. I think if anything was bad said, it was that he has to play against him.
Pat, how you doing this morning? Are you doing good?
I'm great.
All right, good. Because we know we didn't get to have the proper introduction. I'm going to make sure you're doing good. It's game day.
It is game day.
Are you already ready to go? Do you get those butterflies?
Yes.
You do?
Now, these games are always weird because it's like, I mean, you know how it is. You go through your normal routine. Like, typically Saturdays are a bit more, like, dedicated to the game and not as, like, broken up with other things. You're just kind of, you either get to the stadium, you got a noon game, or you do early part of the day, and then you get to the stadium and you got a 3:30 or night game. This is like work day and then work night and then work morning here.
Yes.
So it's a long one, but it's exciting, and it's even more exciting because I think it's going to be a really, really good game. I mean, it's a matchup that has me intrigued in a lot of ways, and I think, you know, people that don't even have a rooting interest will probably really enjoy watching this game on ESPN because of, I think, the talent that's on both sides, particularly on offense.
This isn't the typical Syracuse. And whenever I think of Syracuse, I don't even know if I lost to Syracuse. I was thinking about this last night, and I didn't even feel like even looking it up. But I don't think I lost to Syracuse during my 4 years at Pitt. And I always looked at Syracuse as a W. I really did. And I know that Pitt lost to them last year at Yankee Stadium, but it is not common that Syracuse beats Pitt. If they make this a football game, which it's going to be a back and forth football game, I do believe that Syracuse is a good football team. Only one loss on the season against Stanford, and that was at home when Stanford had to travel, which was I think that's a bad loss for them. But if Syracuse does make this a game, you just said that Pena, top receiver's out. How will that look, in your opinion?
Well, it'll be McCord gets comfortable in the pocket. Pitt's not able to get to him. They spread the field out and are just pitching and catching. I mean, they're going to throw it 60 times tonight. That's what it's going to be. They're not committed to the run game much, if at all. And they've got a really good group of Meeks and Gadsden and Hatcher, and obviously they won't have Pena, but they've got a really good group. Quinn Allen and Willis out of the backfield are both formidable targets. They'll go empty, and McCord will go back there, and he's dealing. If he's dealing without much pressure or Pitt's not changing things up and getting him to go from first read to second read, and if that third read in order to get to him, then it's going to be it'll be a track meet. And that's what Syracuse wants. I think Pitt would like to get in his head a little bit. This game reminds me a lot of the North Carolina game in 2021 with Sam Howell mm-hmm. and Kenny Pickett.
Hopefully it doesn't rain.
I don't think it's supposed to rain later. But you've got Pitt. These are younger versions, obviously. McCord a little bit older than Eli Holstein. But you've got, you know, this explosive offense in Syracuse. You're not really worried about much else in terms of what they have on paper. They've played good defense. They've held some teams to below 20 points, but they're not known for that. But what Pitt did in that game is, I think Servasio Dennis sacked Sam Howell on the first play of the game. Like, that needs to happen tonight in this game to set a tone in order to have McCord not get comfortable back there. And I think this line for Syracuse is they're gettable. They're gettable. They gave up some pressure against NC State. They've given up pressure against Stanford. If Pitt's able to kind of continue what they did against Cal, then I don't think this game is as close late.
How do you feel about – did we have two bye weeks when we were playing? I feel like we did.
I don't even know, man. I don't think so.
No?
We had an off – maybe we had a Thursday night or a – I mean, we played on Wednesday night.
Yeah, we played
Friday night games. I mean – So this is kind of different, like, uh-huh. because when we played those games, even Pat Narduzzi's first couple years at Pitt, they played Thursday night games. Like, you had to turn it quick,
right?
From Saturday to Thursday. Now they give you an open week. That was something that was a player concern, player safety type thing, which I think makes sense. I mean, those quick turnarounds. You see, you know, teams going from Monday night till, you know, playing on Sunday or a Sunday to a Thursday in the NFL. That's quick for your body to recover, but I don't remember having two bye weeks, so this is unique. And but I think it's been good. I think it's good for them, particularly when you have a midweek game.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it's going to be? I mean, so they finally found their stride a little bit on defense against Cal. I thought that. I mean, clearly the defense stepped up, and we know what the offense did. It didn't really do much for the first time this year, and the defense had to step up. Obviously, the special team stepped up in a way as well. Do you think that this may slow them down and hurt them and kind of halt their momentum, because you know, you finally find something and then all of a sudden you're off and you're practicing and you're practicing and you're practicing. You don't have any live action. I do know Pat Narduzzi's pretty decent after the bye weeks, but could they be in danger of slowing up on defense after being off for so long?
Always worried about that. You know, I think, but talking to the coaches this week and hearing Pat Narduzzi talk, they played like an extra quarter in that Cal game. Like, they were on the field for 38 minutes.
Mm.
So because of the offense, you know, inability to move the ball and so on. So they played a lot of football. They didn't have Rasheem Biles. You know, Lovelace played a lot of football. Fitzsimmons is only second game back from injury. I think it gives them an opportunity to get healthy in a way that they need to get a guy like Biles back with how explosive he's been. So I do think both ends of the spectrum equal out, right? You're worried about staying hot, but you're also worried about staying healthy and being fresh and being mentally ready. And he also gives you extra time to prepare for probably the best passing attack you're going to face all year in terms of quarterback, targets, the whole deal. This is a really, really formidable passing attack and gives them the opportunity maybe to put a little bit more defense in this week to counteract that and to play a little bit differently. And I'm sure we'll see some stuff that from this Pitt defense tonight that we may not have otherwise seen if it was a normal preparation period.
Fantex Live brought to you by Edgar Steiner & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Pat Bostic in until 9 a.m. We have Bill Hillgrove, 7:45. New Pitt Athletic Director Alan Green at 8 a.m. and Jeff Hathorn at 8:35 a.m. Coming up next, we'll break down what Pitt needs to do on offense. Trying to get back on track after the Cal performance that was we weren't used to thus far in this season. So we'll get Pat's thoughts on what Pitt needs to do on offense tonight against Syracuse. Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. Doran Dickerson, Nicholas Harry Kaz behind the glass. Pat Bostick here with us until 9 a.m. Pat Bostick is brought to you by Gatorade, available in Giant Eagle stores. Pat, what are you going to do on the weekend? I mean, we've had, this is our second weekend in a row where we won't have to cover Pitt football. My kids have another game. I went to my kids' games last weekend. You know,
how were those donuts?
Oh, they were so good.
I saw your
Madsen's. It's like right, it's in South Fayette. It's like right kind of at the bottom of my hill.
I saw the.
I ate all of them.
I was wondering whether or not you, they were for the kids or just for you.
They got one, and I got the rest. Yes.
The split.
Yes.
Yeah. So last weekend I'll do the same thing. 8 a.m. 6U soccer game or 5U soccer game. Frosty field last week. A lot of kids biting it.
Mm-hmm.
9:45 soccer game. 8U, and then I think. There's a pumpkin patch parade in Uptown Lebo.
Okay.
And then flag football, which I'm the head coach. And this will be my second consecutive game, my third game overall out of like eight,
out of eight
that I've been at.
Wait, you're the head coach. You don't even get to.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, it's I like to frame it as like I just empower, you know, my assistants to shout out Chris Makita, by the way, who's his 40th birthday. Chris is – big Pitt fan. He's going to the game tonight with a bunch of people from our neighborhood. But Chris handles the duties. He kind of slid in and caught a couple plays in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I did call him off once.
Did you?
Late. may or may not have gotten into it a little bit with the other coaching staff.
Are you feisty?
Not me. No. I don't know. It was
he got in it or
no,
you got into
no,
it?
No. I got it. I didn't get into it. I got accused of something, but it's, well, I'm not going to get into detail here. It's fun, man, but it gets competitive.
Oh, yeah.
It gets competitive. Like, listen, we could talk about this because we're both dads. Like, there's a fine line between, like, every kid on our team touches the ball. Every kid on our team gets an opportunity to play. That is really important. It's a foundational part of,
yeah,
I think, youth sports. But at the same time, too, like, you want to win.
Yeah.
Like, you know, a winning experience is a good experience. And you got to learn how to lose. You're going to lose.
Uh-huh.
That's important, too. But, man, if you can win, win.
Yeah.
So I meant no ill will to that the other staff. It was just, you know, we rubbed it in a little bit. But, I had to make the most of my time when I'm there. Yeah. So we had fun. The kids had a great time, and all the kids are friends. So
isn't it funny how just, you know, your natural competitive juices, they come out, even though that we can't suit up anymore. Like, I just can't help it sometimes. Like, I just get nuts, and I get so competitive, and I'm like, hold on, they're 9, 10 years old. It is not that serious, Doran, and I just can't shut that off, Pat. Like, I have an issue.
And yeah, like, I have an issue, too. And so do my kids. They're really competitive. My oldest is really competitive. Like, last year, double whammy went. We had the slide short of the first down at Wake Forest,
mm-hmm,
that cost us the game. And Trey's team lost in the semifinal of flag football. And I had to FaceTime because they were like, those kids were inconsolable.
Oh.
And you know what? A bunch of dads texted were like, I love it. Like, I love it.
Right.
Like, I don't want them to cry. That sucks,
right,
you know. But
like, at least it matters.
It matters, man. Like, they want to win. And they want to win together,
uh-huh,
you know. And I think the biggest thing you fight again in this culture, it was the same when we were kids, is like, oh, I want the ball. I'm like, okay, get excited about blocking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get excited about handing it off. You know, if you get to throw, like, stop asking me to call play.
Yeah,
you're not gonna be able to do this. And that's the thing that's tough sometimes, and you know this having played it. I really want to coach my kids. At the same time, I feel like it might be better if I'm not,
right?
So when's that point? But we got a Pitt game tonight.
Yeah.
That's my weekend. That's my weekend.
I'm basically right with you. I'm two football games.
I'm going to try to sneak out and play golf if I can.
There you go.
But yeah, it'll be a good weekend.
It will be. Fan Hotline Presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. All right, Pat, what's Pitt need to do on offense? Eli Holstein, 133 yards passing against Cal, two interceptions. They had about, 130-some yards-ish rushing against Cal. Not the performance that we thought from the Pitt offense last week, but as we said, the defense stepped up and they ended up winning that game. What do they need to do to get back on track tonight?
Take what they give you. I think that's the biggest thing for Eli, for this offense. I do think that when you get a confidence and a swagger on offense, and you're playing as good as a Holstein is or a Desmond Reed is, or you're calling plays and you feel like you're in a rhythm like Cade Bell, and it's not as much for the play caller as it is for the players, you could take that a little too far. And I thought Eli did that in the game. I thought he tried to force some things, you know, the first and 10 from the third, from the, you know, plus 30 yard line, you throw a pick in the end zone. Like, those are things that you can't do and sustain and win football games. So, you know, what's gotten them to this point, and I think that's what a bye week gives you, an open week gives you, is like, okay, yeah, we're going to watch Syracuse, but like, what have we done well? Mm-hmm. And at this point in the season, you know how it is in football. Like, you are who you are right now. And this is a good football team, but they didn't get good by chucking it deep into triple coverage on every play.
Right.
They didn't get good by, you know, being by throwing on every down. They got good with balance. They got good with Holstein running the ball. They got good checking it down. They got good getting the ball in space to playmakers like Williams and Mumfield and Gavin and those guys, and then run after catch. And then when the big plays come, they come. But you take those shots when they're appropriate. So I think just a reset in that way will be critical for this game, because this is a Syracuse defense that I'm not sure how they're going to play Pitt. They'll do some three safety stuff like Cincinnati did, like West Virginia did at times. And if they do that, well, they'll blanket some of the deep stuff. Mm. And you gotta chip away and take what they give you, run the ball, and trust that the big plays will come in time and know that it'll feel right when those opportunities arise.
Coming up next, not only is there a Pitt game tonight, a big Pitt game, Syracuse Pitt, as we've been talking about, but there's another event going on alongside of that I'd like to get Pat's thoughts about. Pet Fest 24 presented by Subaru is back October 27th at Rockwell Park in the East End. The event runs from 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. Bring your four-legged friends to meet vendors, animal shelters, participate in costume contests, get photos with Santa, or join in the blessing of the pets at 9:30 a.m. Pet Fest is brought to you by Point Breeze Veterinary Clinic, Shenderovich and Fishman, and EV True Value Hardware. For more information, go to 937thefan.com. Pat, big pick game tonight, as we just broke down eloquently. But there's another event going on during the pick game. You know what that is?
No.
No. Larry Fitzgerald night.
Oh, yeah, that's during the pick game. I thought you meant It was like coinciding. Yeah, Larry.
Larry Fitzgerald night.
Bobbleheads.
Bobbleheads.
You better get there early.
He's going into College Football Hall of Fame. What is that, December 13th?
I think it's like the 10th.
10th, something like that.
One in Vegas.
December in Vegas. Larry, man, I know that you've had your opportunities of speaking with Larry a bunch of times. I've had a lot of time around Larry. I was saying a little bit yesterday, even in high school, you know, with him and Tyler Palko being such good friends and, you know, growing up with Tyler, I've, you know, had access to Larry in high school, got to train with him, got to watch film with him, got to be around him and just understand how the best wide receiver in the game at the time and really one of the best overall wide receivers ever really just approached his day-to-day. During the NFL, I would go to Minnesota and train with him and just see him on a day-to-day basis. And he's being honored tonight, like you said, with the bobbleheads. There's Larry Fitzgerald jerseys of the old Pitt jerseys.
Got the tooth on the collar.
Got the tooth on the collar. I mean, Larry, just unbelievable, you know, just one of the best to ever do it. Pat, I was talking to him one time. We were eating lunch after we were working out one time. I was like, Larry, what made you so good? What makes you so good? He's like, Doran, I was, you know, never the biggest. I was never the strongest. I was never the fastest. But God gave me the gift to be able to track the football. And nothing ever made more sense to me in my life. When I was just looking at him, I was like, that makes a lot of sense. He's like, I was just born with the God-given ability to find the football and catch it.
Best ball skills, I think, in the history of the game, I bar none. I mean, just some of the catches he made. The catch he made at A&M between like three guys.
Over the shoulder.
When I think of Larry, peak Larry Fitzgerald, I think of tracking the ball, a deep ball over the top from right shoulder to left shoulder. You know how hard that is?
Oh, my gosh.
And to maintain your stride, to adjust your stride, to track the football and always caught it with his hands. Always caught it with his hands. Like, seldom did you see him trap a ball or catch it in his chest. Like, it never got to his body. And that's, you know, you see that with Pickens. I mean, the touchdown catch with Wilson. I mean, the ability to pick the ball and extend it. You try to bring that ball into your body, sometimes that's where the defender's hands are. They're trying to get up between you. Just the combination of athletic ability. I mean, he's pretty darn big and fast.
Mm-hmm.
But more than anything, I think the ball skills and the intelligence. And then the effort. I mean, this guy had more tackles in his career than drops.
He did.
It's freaking crazy.
That's crazy.
Like, that is... He almost hawked James Harrison, too, in the Super Bowl. Didn't get him. But, super guy. Play golf with him. Heck of a player, by the way.
Yeah, he's really good.
I think he's starting to hit a driver now. He didn't hit a driver before. He would just hit a three-wood, like, you know, 290.
Yeah, can just crush it.
Crush a three-wood.
Just so
good,
just
short
strong.
Game. So athletic. And just a terrific person. He does a lot of good in the world.
He does.
And he represents Pitt as good as you could possibly represent Pitt.
One of the hardest workers I've been around, too, is that, you know, he tells me that story of the God-given talent to track the football. But, you know, that's after we did like a four-hour workout, and he was just a machine. And that was something that I didn't take for granted, was that time of having to train with one of the best. And sometimes people think it's easy and guys just go out there and they're really good. No, like a guy like Larry Fitzgerald knew that he had to put the work in every day, and not just the work, but overtime work. And he, like, I've never seen it. Antonio Brown comes close of being around.
Yeah.
Those two are the hardest workers, Larry Fitzgerald being number one, I've ever been around. Just every single day was football, football, football. And his day-to-day was just, it was amazing. It's a really big experience, you know, personally for my life, to just see a star like that and how their day goes. And, you know, from his PR person coming to his house, you know, his agent coming to his house on a day-to-day basis saying, like, hey, Larry, you have to be here. You have this interview. You have to do this. I'm like, wow, like, this is a real true star. And he handled it with such grace. And he wasn't here that long. And that's one thing he told me, too. He's like, you know, Doran, I was only on campus for, like, what, 13 months?
Yeah. No, he wasn't.
He wasn't here that long, but he made the most of it.
Still comes back, too. Jersey's in the rotunda up there. It's retired. Haven't seen anyone wear a number one since, I think, Ray Graham.
Yeah.
Probably was the last one to wear it in 2012. Seb McGee wore it well, too. Love Seb.
Full speed.
Full speed. Just consummate professional, gold jackets fitted and ready to go. College Football Hall of Fame is the first stop. He's already in the Pitt Hall of Fame. Many more honors for him. And like I said, I mean, I believe he's doing work with Dick's Sporting Goods here. He gets to Pittsburgh frequently when he comes back. He's doing a lot of stuff on campus today. He wants to help, wants to be involved, and, you know, really just stops at nothing to promote what's good about Pitt. And as a former player like you, proud to be one of his brothers.
Coming up next, another Pitt brother or grandfather of ours, Bill Hillgrove. He'll join the show and we'll get his breakdown of Pitt Syracuse. Coming up next, 50 Minute Mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township. Celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Dickerson Bostic Cows here with you, and joining us on the Fan Hotline is our man Bill Hillgrove. Did you call him Cows? Okay, there he is. Hey, Billy, how you doing?
I'm great. How about you guys?
We're doing pretty good. You know, we got this game tonight. Exciting game. Syracuse, they have one loss on the season. This is a big game for the Pitt Panthers. How you feeling right now? Initial thoughts? I know that we're hours and hours away from kickoff, but you wake up on a game day, you kind of have those initial thoughts and thinking how the game might go. Pitt coming off of essentially a bye week. How you feeling right now, Billy?
Well, it's going to be a tough test, I think, and the Panthers are going to have to be ready to play the full game. Those comebacks in September, they're history. This is like, this is the meat of the season. And I think every game from now on out is going to be a dogfight.
There's no doubt. And Billy, you called every one of Larry Fitzgerald's games at Pitt. And, you know, he's being honored tonight. College Football Hall of Famer, not a surprise. Canton is waiting for him in a couple years, I think. What are your recollections of him specifically? Any plays jump to mind that you had fun calling?
Yeah, there was a play at Texas A&M where he just went up and got the ball. because and what I always noticed about Larry, when the ball was in the air, he knew better than anybody on the field where it was going to come down. And he'd go to that spot, and, of course, with his gifts, his hands, leaping ability, he'd come down with it most of the time. I know it's not a it's a rough analogy, but I remember watching Bill Verdon patrol center field at Forbes Field for the Pirates. And he'd run to a spot, turn, and hold the glove out, and the ball would go into the glove. You know, that's an uncanny ability to know where it's going to be. And I think Larry had it better than anybody. And I remember talking to the late Dick Grote, who had a state police outing at Champion Lakes. And he was talking to a patrol, you know, a state policeman from down east. And he said, how do you feel about Pitt's receivers? And said, well, we have a darn good one in Antonio Bryant. And the guy said, well, he's not as good as the guy coming in next year, Larry Fitzgerald. I've seen him at Valley Forge. He's better. And guess what? The policeman was correct.
He definitely was. And Antonio Bryant was pretty good, a Biletnikoff winner himself. Bill, we have Alan Green coming on next, new Pitt athletic director. What are some of your initial thoughts? Paraphrasing a little bit here, but I do believe he stated that he hates losing more than he loves to win. And, you know, that's refreshing to hear from a guy coming from Tennessee and knowing how good that program is and, you know, how good their athletic department is down there in the SEC. What are some of your initial thoughts on the new athletic director?
Well, I have some friends at Tennessee, and all of them speak highly of Alan. He's got foresight. He's with, you know, he's completely in step with the current college landscape, and I think that augurs well for this program. So I think he was a correct choice. I wanted to be at the news conference yesterday. I left my house, I thought, in plenty of time. Unfortunately, there was some snarling of traffic in Monroeville, and it took me 25 minutes, and I still wasn't out of Monroeville. And I looked at my time left, and there's no way, and I'm not going to walk in late. So I missed the news conference, but I'm pretty sure that this is the correct choice for the University of Pittsburgh.
All right, Billy, we'll see you tonight. Pitt, Syracuse. Have a good call with us, Pat Bostic, myself, Larry Richard. We're going to have some fun tonight.
Oh, absolutely. That's what it's all about, having fun.
Yes, sir. We'll see you.
See you tonight, Pard.
All right.
The best. The best.
The best.
The best. The best. The biz.
Can't wait for tonight. I'm so excited. This is a big game for Pitt. Coming up next, Alan Green, new athletic director of the University of Pittsburgh, joins the Fan Morning Show. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet, 24 Silverado, 1500 1.9% financing up to 36 months with approved credit through GM Financial. Full terms and conditions at sunchevy.com. Today, high of 60, low of 43. Clear weather, no rain. That's good for us, Pat. Tomorrow, high of 67, low of 36, partly cloudy.